I guess when I get my heaven moment and I, you know, you get to go back and, right, we all have this list. Oh, I want to talk to so-and-so. I want to, what was on your heart? What were you thinking? What were you? I wonder, were the wise men, it was probably a group of them, not just three. I mean, there's three gifts we know, but there's probably a party and their travel entourage and probably disappointed, probably discouraged. Probably wondering, like, what the heck? I mean,
probably when they got to Herod, they thought, oh, we missed it.
And it was, and the journey was years, right?
Yeah.
So I can see them thinking, we got it wrong. Or, so they're not supernatural wonder people, right? They're like us. They're, so what a gift. The star reappeared. Can't you see them? Because remember, the star reappears. It's got a something inside had to go, yes! Yes! That's it! Yes!
I think you're right, Danny, when you say there had to be, well, there didn't have to be, but there may have been more than three.
Sure.
I'm thinking there's a combination of men who had different gifts, like navigators of the sky and how to do this and that to survive the trip.
There's a movie, it's an old one. I want to say Martin Sheen was in it. And it was called The Fourth Wise Man. And he had a gift for the Lord. And after this long journey and just circumstances of the journey, he needs to be here, and he ended up using his gift for something else, and there was always, no, stop, I'm not going to tell you the story, because maybe we can find it on Netflix or Hulu, and anyway, it's fascinating that even this, he figured after years and years and years, he has this moment to reconnect with the Lord. It's really cool. Now I got to watch it again. Short word, but
the powerful.
Yeah, let's hope so. It is for me, you know, because every time I talk to you guys, it's like, well, here's what's on my heart.
Are you preaching to yourself?
Yeah, I'm preaching to myself. I'm always preaching to myself. I'm never like, oh, they need to get this. Like, no, it's always, I need to get this. Okay, so, squirrel. I grew up.
You did?
Yeah, I'd like to think I'm growing up. Hello. I grew up in the church. Christmas, I always remember at Christmas time. Again, this is a squirrel. The kids told the Christmas story, and there would always be, and I was always picked to be a shepherd. And I think, I don't know, it's probably because we had five boys in the family. And so it was real easy. They could go, oh, we're going to call the Searles, and I need three shepherds.
Got it.
My mom probably said, you're all shepherds, you know, kind of thing. And I remember having these really thick terry cloth robes. You know, I had like this mustard gold one, and my brother had a blue, and those were our shepherd outfits. And then mom put a towel on our head, a dish towel kind of thing. And I always thought, I'm not happy. Yeah, I'm always a shepherd. Yeah, I don't know why I told it like that, but it's like, but the Christmas story, and there's something wonderful about retelling it. Like that there, I didn't see that verse this morning, but that popped out of me like a wise man. He just heals disappointment. He's always pouring into your hope. It was tough the time that I was watching and read the book, The Shack, and then watched the movie, and I'm like, I'm just falling in love with this rediscovery of the presentation of the Father and his love and how much he cares for us. And I'm probably like, my heart's desperate for more, and I'm in that seat of this place of like, please feed this. Mm-hmm. And I remember the guy who wrote that book is a guy named Paul Young, and I remember seeing this talk between this guy named Baxter Kruger and Paul Young. And I just began to fall in love with Baxter Kruger, this philosopher, theologian, and he would always talk about this divine dance, oneness between the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. He'd always talk about this this fellowship of just total, complete oneness. And I remember just being fascinated by how Dr. Kruger would talk about this. He would talk about this amazing intimacy between them, the communion that they had between them, that it was like this passion they had, this self-giving, this other-centered love, this mutual delight that was shared between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know, like, and it was right. It was good. It was unique. It was blessed. It was joyful. It was like, it probably made sound. It was like symphonies. And I remember thinking, this is just the coolest thought of the, because I was raised always hearing about the Trinity, but the thought that they're just like, what oneness really looked like. Mm-hmm. And then you realize this thing that I love, the Passion Translation refers to Jesus as the living expression. And it's like this expression, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it's like they created all things. And in fact, Scripture says that nothing has its existence apart from them. In fact, Colossians says, it's even more deeper, it says, everything is literally held together by them. Like the word is consists. Like, think about it. That means every moment now, every moment moving forward, every atom in Kelsey's body held together by him. Mm. And by the way, everything else in, what is it? Cosmos, everything, all of you, all your moments, all held together. He's holding all this together. You're like, wow. But then you get into this, it kind of poses this relational challenge. It's sort of like, I'm this finite creature, you know, I'm sort of like the fish in the fishbowl. And so I've got this unique oneness out here, this divine embrace of the three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that are holding all this together. Like, who am I in the midst of that? How do I connect with that? I didn't learn it, but I had to go back and look at this old seminary word about ontology, which is sort of like the philosophical study of existence. And being, and you just realize it's like I'm in this other category. I mean, I could take everything on the planet, everything here, and categorize it. Right? I remember in biology classes, it was kingdom, phylum, class, order, family, genus, species.
Wow,
done. Ha! Come on, biology. Mr. Taniguchi is my biology teacher. King Philip came over from Germany soon.
Ah!
That's how I remember King of Biden, but anyway, sorry. Everything can get categorized. Everything. Every living thing. Everything that has life in it. Every object can get categorized. He's outside that. He created that. He's outside that. Right? And, it's like, well, we live in the fishbowl. We live in this one plane of reality, and he's other. C.S. Lewis said, hey, there's a problem here. And C.S. Lewis said, it's like Hamlet, right? A character in a play trying to relate to Shakespeare. You ever heard that?
Yeah.
It's like Hamlet trying to relate to Shakespeare. Shakespeare is the author. Hamlet's a character in one of the author's plays. I was just reading this story about this woman author. I don't remember her name. It was just recently, like the last couple of weeks. I sensed it was romance, mystery-ish kind, and the claim was she wrote herself into every one of her books. You know, that's interesting. We read, sorry, another squirrel. We read this author called Clive Cussler. You ever read his? He's sort of like a Indiana Jones kind of character guy. He writes Dirk Pitt. Is his character. And in every one of his books, the author is in the story. There's a character that becomes somebody who, like, helps in some dilemma, helps in some, like, thing, like, and that's like, what? And there's always this place where he says, I'm sorry, it's like, what's your name? Oh, I hope we can meet again. It's Clive Cussler. In every book. In fact, you look for it.
You look for it.
Look for it. He writes himself.
That's cute.
But Hamlet only exists on the pages of Shakespeare's play, right? So how does the character in a play relate to the author? You're like, okay, that's a challenge. And then all of a sudden you get to this thing that's created and invented religions for as long as the earth has been, and people on earth have been in existence, and it's, how can we know God? How can we know God? And I would like to tell you, just in the simplest way, it gets to the why of Christmas, right? Why did we tell the story? What happened on that Christmas morning? And, right? C.S. Lewis goes on to write in one of his books, he said, the only way this could happen for Hamlet to know Shakespeare, if Shakespeare were to write himself into the play. Then you go, oh my goodness, that's what God did. With the incarnation of Christ, He wrote himself into our world, into our play. John chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, reading out of the Passion Translation, says, he was not born by the joining of human parents, or from natural means, or by a man's desire, but he was born of God. And so the living expression became a man and lived among us, right? Perfect oneness, the Father, Son, the Spirit. Jesus comes in and like, let me bring that to you. And so the living expression became a man and lived among us. As we gazed upon the splendor of his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, overflowing with tender mercy and truth. John 1, verses 13 and 14. Right there, you could stop. That's the Christmas story.
Read that last line, tender mercy, what'd you say with?
And so the living expression became a man and lived among us. And we gazed upon the splendor of his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, overflowing with tender mercy and truth. So the one who continuously holds the universe together, in him all things consist, right, became a man and lived among us. Right? Right? The infinite one, the creator, God. And he comes from the womb of a teenage girl, a virgin. He's seen first by the shepherds, as a vulnerable infant, not in the palace where the wise men first went to, that's where he'd be, right? In a feeding trough, in this middle of nowhere place, Bethlehem, and you're like, who can make this stuff up? It's like, what a crazy story, right? And then you get, you know, read on Luke, which is my favorite place to read the story, and it's like the whole, you know, angelic heavens open up, and this, you know, was it glory to God? Was it, you know, was it symphony with like all the sound of, blah, you know, of rejoicing? It's like, hope is here, goodwill is here, peace is here for everybody. Right? It's like, wow, the incarnation of Christ. And it's like, all of a sudden, it's like, he's accessible to everyone. Right now, he's accessible to everyone. This overflowing, overwhelming, tender mercy, great love is accessible to everyone. And I want to read this. I'm going to actually read it out of two places. In 1 John, chapter 1, just the first two verses says, we saw him with our very own eyes. We gazed upon him. We heard him speak. Our hands actually touched him. The one who was from the beginning, the living expression of God. This life giver was made visible. And we've seen him when we testify to this truth. The eternal life giver lived face to face with the Father. And now he's dawned upon us. Let me read it on the mirror. The Logos is the source. Everything commences in him. The initial reports concerning him that have reached our ears, and which we indeed bore witness to with our own eyes, to the point that we became irresistibly attracted, now captivates our gaze. In him we witnessed tangible life in its most articulate form. The same life that was face to face with the Father from the beginning has now dawned on us. The infinite life of the Father became visible before our eyes in human form.
Wow, wow.
That's what the angels say.
Yeah, right.
You get to see him! That's the Father. Why did Jesus come? He said, I came to show you. Right? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they're like, they're enamored in this oneness, unity of face to face with each other. And it's like, we get introduced. John, back in chapter 1 again of John, it says that, verse 17, Moses gave us the law, but Jesus, the anointed one, he unveils truth wrapped in tender mercy. No one has ever gazed upon the fullness of God's splendor except the uniquely beloved Son, who is cherished by the Father and held close to his heart. Now, he has unfolded to us the full explanation of who God truly is. One of my favorite terms with Bill Johnson when he speaks, and he says, Jesus Christ is perfect theology. You go to seminary all day long, read commentaries all over the place, right? It's like, you just have to look to Jesus. Why? Because whatever's like Jesus is like God. Whatever not like Jesus,
It's not like God.
What? That was easy. Whatever is like Jesus is like God. Remember, he came to show us that. That's all he knows. That's all Jesus knows. This is who he is. So if it's not like Jesus, it's not like God. Right? So I want to. You want to answer that question? How can we know God? I'm the fish in the fishbowl. He's out here. How can I know God? Jesus. Because in Jesus Christ, we truly know God. Right? He's the truth. When I go, this is where if Angel was here, I'd say, Angel will preach on this sometime. Because that's what happens before he goes to the cross. When he gets asked, why are you here? Who are you? And he says, I came to bring truth. And he's like, truth? Mm-hmm. What's that? What's truth? Right? Jesus came to restructure reality. What? I'm a fishbowl guy. I can never. Mm-hmm. He came to like
swim.
Help us have heaven eyes. Came, I only see this. Oh, let me show you what heaven looks like. And Eric can teach on this about how we're seated with him in heavenly places. It says we're far above all the fishbowls. Mm-hmm. All the rulers and the authorities and all the we get to see from this place. And he invites us up. Come up here. See this way. Right? It gets better because when he passed the baton to us after the cross, he says, now you get to go live life like this, like me. Talk like me. Respond like me. Right? Holy Spirit counsels us, teaches us, shows us, talks to us. Right? So, if you want to know why did he create, why did God do it, why did God create me, why did he create you, why did he write himself into our story, why our Christmas play, did Jesus show up? And I would say it was all about our worship this morning, because he loves us. Scripture says he's love. And it doesn't take a lot of counselors or advisors to love. Love only makes sense when it can share itself with another. He came to love and to share it with you and invite you into that his life. He came to invite us into this divine dance between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I always remember the ring around the rosy, and you know, you bring a kid in the middle that'll, you know, hold hands and sing around them. I think we're the ones in the middle. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are holding hands and singing around us. And you sit here and go, me?
Yeah.
And he just like, just let him love you this Christmas. Just wake up to his love this Christmas. It's the, and what do we do in return? Just want to love him. I just want to love him more. That's why that last song, falling in love, deeper, just falling in love with him. That's our response to him loving us, right? So, that's why Christmas. So with that, I just I pray for a moment. Maybe it's on your bed at night, or you're staring at a Christmas tree with your cup of coffee, or you've got quiet music. Maybe it's Christmas music playing. The Holy Spirit just kind of grabs you again. I would even pray that you feel it. Something, you feel it. It's like, even now it's like your hair on your arms, it's like, what in the world is happening? It's like he's just reconnecting with you this Christmas. reminding you of how loved you are, how known you are. And in that place, he just, things start to, sorry, it's like the Narnia movie when winter leaves and spring comes and the ice melts and the buds are coming, and it's just like you just, something inside starts to bud and grow and come alive, and there's color and fresh smell and just life, abundant life just begins to move inside of you. So we just speak healing over you this morning in Jesus' name, that the love of the Father would just kind of like search into the deep corners of your heart and just bring healing to all those places and all the corners that have been packed away and hidden. And everything gets a love bath. Everything gets saturated in love. Nothing gets left untouched. So every fear, everything inside gets exposed, and light shines, and love washes, and hope fills, and peace comes, and joy overwhelms, and all you want to do is just rejoice because love found you. Right? So we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.